First of all, he's lost like a billion pounds. Seriously, what has he lost, 100 pounds? 154 pounds since April? Since April, he's lost 154 pounds since April of this year? Of this year. Makes me feel a little inadequate at the moment. But in addition to that, he is currently earning more than $3 million a year in commissions. He's built an incredible organization. Him and his fiance, they are each earning more than $3 million a year in commissions. But please do me a favor and give a big GoPro Recruiting Mastery welcome to Mr. Ryan Higgins. Man, do we have a picture of him from last year? Well, you were on the panel last year, right?
Don't show that. We don't need to show that.
You won't even recognize the guy. It's just unbelievable. Anyway, congratulations on the weight loss and the health, and you're going to live a much longer life for sure.
Thank you.
You've built an incredible organization, and you've built it with a very heavy emphasis on customers, right? So what we talked about in this conversation, there's a massive wave of customer-centric businesses around the world. If there's a continuum, on this side of the continuum, it's all opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. The product doesn't matter at all. And over here, it's product, product, product. Opportunity doesn't matter at all. All of you are on somewhere on that continuum. And I think it's fair to say that you've been more towards the product side up until recently. And you have not, you don't want to walk away from that, but you want to infuse a little bit more opportunity into the product culture that you've created. So what I'd like to have you talk about and share with everybody is what your strategies are in order to be able to introduce some opportunity into your product culture.
All right, all right. First of all, thank you for inviting me up here.
You're welcome.
It's an honor. Thank you to everybody out here. You've influenced me one way or another where I'm at. Thank you. Shifting from product-based to the opportunity, the first thing you need to do is lead by example. If you want somebody to do what you want to do, you have to do it first. And I see that in our industry sometimes, and I've been there. You get a little lackadaisical and you stop doing what you tell everybody and what you're asking them to do. So self-check and do what you're wanting everybody else to do. You're not going to get anybody to follow you if you're not up there leading the forefront and leading by example. Okay. There's my fiance. You're going to hear, that's right, one way or another. So you need to lead by example. Show them a clear pathway on what you're going to be doing and what you want them to do.
Go, Bo.
And when you're leading them, because you're going to be giving them new terminology, a new language, because we've been doing product-based this whole time, and now all of a sudden we're shifting, we're doing something a little different. And the best way is to show them examples of it can be done. You know, look at anything in the world. Things don't get started until somebody goes and proves that it can be done, and then everybody else jumps and follows suit. You got to do the same exact thing.
How do you get yourself to go back and put those work clothes on, you know, when you're making the big money that you're making? Because I see that as a big challenge. There's a lot of top earners here that you built it and you're kind of like over that, you know, you're on another stage and now you're, you know, you're working in depth and you're showing up at events and you're doing your online things. How do you inspire yourself to go back into the trenches and do it again and lead by example? Because I know that it sounds like, oh, that should be easy, but I also know that you're getting pulled at from your organization to continue to do what you've been doing prior to that.
That's exactly right. It is hard, and you do get in that slump sometimes. But when you take yourself out of the equation and not make it all about you, and you're worried about the other people, you're going to get back to work. And when you're passionate about what you're doing, nothing's going to stop you. You don't mind getting back into the trenches because it's really not work if you're doing something passionate and you love. I mean, I wake up every morning and it's not going to work. I'm just doing what I love, something I'm passionate. It just drives me. And
can I ask you a question? If there's a continuum of on this side, it's a number one, and that is all product and opportunity is evil and you shouldn't even want money. And on this side is 100. It's all money. Forget about the product. Doesn't even matter how we get there. Where have you been over the last 3 years? If this is one and this is 100, what number would you say you've been?
I fluctuated back and forth over,
your culture.
Over my career. In
your culture.
Culture.
Let's say in the last 3 years, where do you think that number's been?
You're more worried about the product, because the money is going to come when you're worried about the product.
No, but so I'm just saying, if you took your culture, you took your average person out there, are they totally on the product side, customer side, or are they totally on the opportunity side, and where do you think they are?
You're more on the customer side.
More on the customer side. So, and they've been, what, a 10, a 20, up to 100?
I would say more of a 20.
A 20. Closer. And where would you, and you don't want to take it to 100.
No.
Where do you want to take it?
You got to find that balance.
Where do you want to take it to?
Of about, to about 40.
40. So you're trying to shift your culture from 20 to 40. Okay. So the number one strategy that you're doing to shift your culture from 20 to 40 is you're leading by example and starting to talk a little bit more about opportunity. Because what I've seen in culture shift in this conversation is you have to make the opportunity not evil.
Correct.
Because when you're really product-based, sometimes people get offended when you talk about the financial opportunity connected with that product.
Well, also, you got to think is when you're talking about a product and you're talking to a stranger, now you got to convince them to take a product from
yeah.
a stranger.
Yeah.
But y'all were already talking about this today, about the gig economy.
Yeah.
People out there don't mind talking about making a little extra money.
Right.
And it's just a little bit easier to work the side of the opportunity when everybody out there is looking to make a few extra dollars. And it don't matter where they're at in their life. If they're already making good money, they want to make better money.
Yeah. But here's what I will tell you is the product cultures that I see, and there's many of them here in this room that are really, really product heavy. It's almost like it feels purer to them, because they're not judged when they're talking about the product, but when they bring up the opportunity, then the network marketing stuff comes up and they start being judged and they start having to deal with that stuff. So to demystify that and make that okay within your organization is a little bit of work in order to be able to move that number from 20 to 40.
Correct.
Yeah.
People get comfortable just talking about the product.
Or they can hide. They can hide from the opportunity sometimes.
Correct.
Yeah.
The opportunity just happens for some. But then you got some of those that are like, ooh, I want to get a rock star. I want to get a rock star. Well, you're going to have to do a little bit more than just talking about the product to get to that extra step. And you come to find out some of your team does raise their hand and say, hey, I want to make a little bit more, or I want to do a little bit more. And you got to figure out resources. And so what we have compiled is basically a toolbox. All right. And we empower these people with their toolbox. And what's inside their toolbox is for things to hang on to, like their company story, their own testimony. Teach them how to say these stories and explain to people. It gets them a little more comfortable. Product stories. Each thing is basically a tool in their toolbox. We're empowering them. What I see is sometimes people just throw out scripts and it's already pre-written for all these people. Well, next thing you know, they sound like robots out there just spewing the same thing over and over and over and over all over social media. Social media is great, but also everybody's on social media, so they're seeing the same thing over and over and over. If you teach these people how to tell these stories from them, put them in their position, in their place, it comes out so much more genuine to the stranger you're actually talking to and the person you're trying to build a relationship. So empowering them with these tools and giving them a toolbox to go out there and work is so much easier, you know?
Let me add, so for your notes, one suggestion for all of you is to pick a number of what you'd like your culture to be. If product only is a 1 and opportunity only is a 100, what number is the healthy number for your culture? And if you decide that, then you can start moving towards that instead of letting it dictate and you being reactive if you're proactive in growing your business. That's number one. Number two is make a decision that you're going to move towards that number. Number three is lead by example. Don't tell people to do something that you're not doing. Number four is equip them with tools, whether it's stories, whether it's videos, whether it's training, communication, recognition, all kinds of different programs in order to be able to support that effort.
Correct. And you got two choices when you're running your business. You can either look at your competition and mock what they're doing, or go out there and create your own for them to come and mock you. And if you want to go out there to the top and get going and rock and roll, you got to figure it out on your own. Don't copycat somebody else out there. Yeah, it might be working, but it might be working for their culture and for their people. It's not going to be working for you. You got to figure out, put your thinking caps on, and build your toolbox for your team to go out there and use.
So that's right. So I just got to ask one more question. Between you and your fiance, you're making over $500,000 every month. What is that like?
It's a true blessing, is what it is. I know what it's like to come from a little bit, and to be able to be where I'm at now is a blessing, and I count my blessings every single day to know where we're at.
Everybody, give a big round of applause to Mr. Ryan Higgins.
Well done, brother.
We good? All right, I have one more case study. Do you have some notes from that? Do you have an idea on that? Something that you can act on in order to be able to drive your culture? I hope that you do. The next presenter is a young lady I've known for quite some time. She's tremendously successful in her business, and she's got some strategy in order to make some boring things in your business fun. Please welcome to the stage, Miss Rachel Jackson.
Hey.
So, Rachel, you're a member of the Next Level Mastermind group. We talked about these different types of things.
Yeah.
$1 million a year earner, part of the $1 million Hall of Fame. And what we talked about prior to this is, you know, when I asked you, you know, what's one thing that you're doing that's really working for you? What Rachel told me is using challenges to make the mundane fun. Using challenges to make the boring stuff in our business interesting. And I'm a big fan of challenges or campaigns or short-term things that can help a person take action when they normally wouldn't.
Right, yeah.
So why don't you share with people what you're doing with that strategy and get as specific as you'd like.
Yeah, first off, this is such an honor to be here. I put this on my a goal list, I think it was about 8 years ago, 9 years ago specifically, to be speaking on stage. So write it down, make it happen. Thank you to Eric and Marina for being amazing mentors and creating a space that's safe for us to grow our skill. When we talked a couple of weeks ago and you asked me to be here, I said, this is a really fun topic, but it's one that needs like an hour or two, but I want to give you guys a couple nuggets. How many of you guys want to put a team that's not really in momentum? How many of you guys want to put into hypergrowth? Say aye.
Aye.
Right? And you want to do it without sacrificing the integrity of your model, your system, or confusion. How many of you guys want simplicity? Say aye. Right? And I've learned that these little challenges have helped our team grow probably by about 40% in the last year, year and a half. And it's been just adding a little bit of fun and excitement and culture to our team that's gone really well. And so I want to give you guys an example. Raise your hand if you've heard of any of these things, like a blitz, a challenge, a campaign. How many of you guys have either heard of this or ran one in your team? Let me see the audience right now. Okay, so you guys have heard some of these. These are some of the things that we have ran over the last year, little micro bursts, little relaunches, little campaigns to help take our teamies and give them a very specific, very short-term goal to hit, and then rewarding them for taking action. And so you asked me to put together some best practices in a really short period of time, so I thought I would. First off, you know, Eric and I were discussing is you have to align a little challenge, a little blitz, with your company or your team system. So for instance, I know a lot of you guys are using Facebook groups or ATM. Where are my ATMers out there, right? We got a few. So if your system is ATM, you probably want the basis of your challenge to be ad, tag, and message. How many of you guys are samplers out there? Where are my samplers at? People that send samples, give samples, sell samples, that's what you'd want to base it around. So whatever your system is, you want to make sure that you add it in there. Another thing that's really huge that's worked for me is creating a promo within a promo. Here's what it looks like. The company comes out with something really big, you know, a big incentive trip to Hawaii or to Bora Bora, or, you know, maybe it's even like, you know, you do X amount of enrollments and you get a bonus. Sometimes those are really big, and very few people are going to hit it. Even with our team, sometimes in our incentive trips, only 50 to 100 people on our entire team of thousands will hit an incentive trip. But we'll take that trip that might be a 4 or 5 month long promotion, and we'll take a little mini part of that incentive and we'll actually break it down so it aligns with the company system. Now, I know this is really hard because some of you guys are leading yourself. Some of you guys are leading 10 people, sometimes it's 100, or some of you guys have 100,000 people in your downline. So it's challenging to teach this, but I want you guys to know, if you're brand new, write this down. Brainstorm with your support team. Work with your upline. You know, say, hey, I have ideas. I learned some things at GoPro this weekend that I'd love to implement, and I want to see like what you're running. Don't compete with them. If your upline is running a promo, there's no reason for you to run a promo on top of it. Like, it can just become a little muddied. Here's another tip. Write this down. Keep it short. I'll tell you, Eric, nobody ever taught me how to run promos. They never taught me how to run campaigns. Nobody got me on a call and said, hey, this is the outline. So a lot of you guys are like, I want the exact outline. How many of you guys love step-by-step instructions? Raise your hand. Right? I wish I could sit and give it to you, but you guys, you got to figure it out. So much of this business is figure outable. And I'll tell you, I learned this by failing and skinning my knees, by trying different challenges and seeing that the long ones didn't work. The average attention span is like 4 seconds. It's shorter than a goldfish. That's the human attention span. And I found that after about 10 to 14 days, the interest and engagement in the challenge plummets. It's like, so I recommend 3 to 14 days, and I love to reward activity, but also rewarding results. So here's how it can look. Every day when I'm running a challenge, my most recent one we did a 7-day relaunch challenge. So for every single day, they had an activity. So day one might be rewriting their why, getting back into their vision. And what they would do is they would take a picture of their journal entry, or maybe their, you know, iPad or whatever, and they'd put it on a screenshot on a little post in a Facebook group, right? Our little challenge Facebook group. And they got points just for doing that activity. Now, the cool thing was, as the support member that's helping run the challenges, I gave prizes to people just for writing their why. Now, they weren't big prizes, Eric. They were things like a free team water bottle or like a company swag bag, like a messenger bag that I bought at corporate at the convention. Guys, when you go to convention, buy everything that's on sale, and then I use that throughout the year for fun little challenge prizes. I get custom t-shirts made. I do little gift cards. I give little ring lights that they can put on their phone for their, you know, better lighting for their Facebook Lives. It doesn't have to take a lot of money. Even things like samples or product, people go nuts after. So I reward the activity daily. Maybe the day is ATM 25 people for the day, or invite 10 people to watch the First Touch video. And when they do that, they comment below the post, and I reward those just for taking action. How many of you guys have somebody on your team that gets frustrated, or many people on your team, or even you personally? Honestly, you get a little frustrated, you're taking action, but people are blowing you out of the water with results. You're like, I'm planting the seeds. I'm doing the thing, right? Guys, but the truth is, the day you plant your fruit is not the day, or plant your seed is not the day you eat the fruit. So I want to reward those just for taking action, but ultimately, I really want to reward the results. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal. If you're going to run a campaign or a challenge with your team, the goal is to get them into work, right? To get them into movement, to get the numbers and the charts actually moving upwards. And so we always have grand prizes. So usually it's something like we track sales, we track enrollments, things, you know, might be like total GV or PV or whatever. And we give away fun things. It might be tickets to convention. It might be tickets to GoPro or the Most Powerful Women in Network Marketing event here next spring. We might even give away simple things like, you know, cash or an iPad. People go nuts. So look at your budget again. You might have to work with your upline with this and strategize, but don't be afraid of investing a little bit back in your team. Guys, write this down. People come for the money, but they stay for the feeling. What feeling are you giving them building their business on a daily basis? We're all alone in our homes, right? I'm an introvert, so I try not to leave my house as little as possible, right? And so we're building our business behind our keyboards, and it can get a little monotonous. And so to give them something to shoot for, and you know what, guys, another thing, people want to be led. Even my leaders, they beg for the next challenge. They're like, when are we gonna do another one? I love being told what to do. I'm like, honey, you're making $6,000 a month. I know, but I really love being told what to do. I love when you outline it so perfectly. They love it. And lastly, I've learned this the hard way, don't overuse these. It's kind of like the whole retail method with couponing. Couponing or the Groupon actually can destroy a business. I've read this in retail. It takes 6 to 8 years to return from a couponing mentality in retail. So if you over-promote in your team, if you have too many challenges, too many blitzes, too many promotions, too many ideas or contests, what happens is they become either burnt out or they just become numb to it. It's not exciting anymore. What I would do in closing, guys, is focus on the dead months. So the months where there isn't a promo from the company, the month where there isn't a promo or an event to go to, or maybe there's things where there's like a Black Friday or a Cyber Monday special, focus on those, but don't overuse. And guys, just have fun. Try it. Run a little 3-day campaign for enrolling or inviting or for closing. Play with it. Learn. Reevaluate. Audit it. And just have a blast with your team, and they'll be thankful
for
it.
And here's what I would tell you. When it comes to these campaigns, and all of these ideas are really, really smart and good. What I will tell you is this. I'm losing this mic pack. Hold on. This thing falling apart.
Need some help?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm a huge fan of these little micro campaigns on any activity that you can think of in your organization that your organization needs. If your organization is not focused enough on customer acquisition, you could just do a customer acquisition campaign for 3 days or 1 day or 5 days. If home parties are a big part of your business, if you just every day everybody's supposed to do a home party, you're not going to get results. But if you do a 5 home parties in 5 days campaign, and how many people are going to engage in that 5 in 5, then they're ready to go. And they'll do the 5 in 5 when they won't do 1 a week. You know what I mean? So whether it's customers or activity or reaching out, starting conversations, you can do a campaign around getting people to register for your company convention. You can do a campaign around using the product that people are already involved. Your distributor's actually using your product, or maybe it's some obscure product that isn't your core product. You can do a campaign around promoting that.
Totally.
Or a different flavor or a different use, anything that you can go down. But here's what I want you to think about, as an assignment for each of you. Pick one campaign to either finish this year strong or start 2020, and announce it, enroll people in it, and make it happen. And you can decide what that's going to be. You can brainstorm what that's going to be. But here's where most of the learning is in the doing. Pick a campaign in the next 45 days, roll it out, get as many people as possible to engage in that campaign, and then you're off to the races, okay? And from there, you can pick the next one. The reason why I say the next 45 days is usually January starts a little slow.
Yeah. Totally.
You've got an opportunity to either close this year or start next year strong, and putting a campaign around that time frame is really gonna help you, okay? How many people have a good idea around this campaign strategy in order to be able to make the boring stuff fun? How many people have some of your notes? All right, give Rachel a big round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, I'll go out with you.